And when you think too, film speed, those people that are familiar with film speed nowadays, you talk about a film being a speed of 400 or 1,000. We were working with speeds of 2 and 4. ASA 2 and ASA 4. Holy 4 being goodness. Outside, 2 inside. And we had some shots, you can see in the film, in the auditorium, or I should say the gymnasium in Burnaby South, particularly, that I remember so clearly, the girls' physical ed doing some tumbles and jumps and so on, and all of that. And to light that properly, to get the color, we were using about 20,000 watts of power. And we kept blowing fuses. And me and my youthfulness and so on, I would go down to the box and put pennies in. And why we didn't burn the school down, I don't know. Things heated up, but you didn't keep the lights on very long. You'd get the shot, turn the lights off. And, of course, the other thing, sometimes with some of the fades that we wanted to do, we didn't have faders like they have anything. I mean, nowadays it's second nature. We used to use a bucket of water with salt. And you'd put one electrode at the bottom and the other electrode on a stick. And if you brought it down to the bottom, you'd get full power. And then you'd gradually pull that up. And if you were pulling it up too slowly, you'd start the water boiling because of the electrical resistance. But if you ever touched that and got the water, well, I wouldn't be here now to talking to you.
And that would fade the lights?
That would fade the lights.
Talk about a classroom. That was some classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. So nowadays,
That shouldn't even be made public, I guess. I guess it's late enough.
Don't worry, yes, that's long in the past.
Yeah, it's in the past. But that was what we did. And there were many times with the old fuses, we would take the cartridge fuses, as we said, and you take large copper wire and join them up. And then with the screw-in 30-amp fuse, you put pennies in. And not done.
No, but you are here to tell us about it. It's good. So you finish off your schooling with senior matriculation, so grade 13.
Yeah.
And was that a rough year, that last year?
That was a very excellent year. The film was all done and so on. And by the way, it didn't cost me any marks or anything like that, but I used to miss an awful lot of schooling because while we did the shooting at night, there was a lot of work to do during the daytime. And I was always first in line to give a hand. Mm-hmm. And I can still remember Miss Draper lamenting I would go to the office to do this or that. And she would shake her head, "You could be a top flight student if you'd only stay here."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But think of the learning by working on that project.
Oh, of course.
It was a godsend.
Well, they say motivation's the best teacher. Mm-hmm. And he was motivated.
Yeah, and I look back on that, and I have to admit, it was a highlight. I've always had a great interest in photography. It was never my profession. I went into education and all of that, but as I get older now, I do dabble a little bit, and of course now with computers and all of that, I just find it so, in this kind of thing, I find it so interesting that way. Mm-hmm. After I finished, then I went to university, and I really didn't know quite what I wanted to do. And left.
That would be UBC?
Yes. And then I worked in Woodward's, and they were very good. I went part-time and full-time and so on, and back and forth. And it was actually one of them. It was Roth Gordon. I remember he came into the store about 1950, I guess, and we were talking and so on, and I hadn't seen him for a while. And he was talking up education, and why don't you think about normal school and so on. And he was one that probably, maybe one of the encouraging ones to go. And then I remember going out to see Mr. McDonald at the time. And I can always remember him saying, "If you want to make money, don't go into education." Mm. He said, "The average wage is $3,000 a year." That was with degrees. And anyway, went to normal school, and I started with a big sum of, I think, about $2,000 a year.
Right. And you commuted, you were living in Burnaby at the time and commuted
across town. Yes, yeah.
And then how did you commute from Burnaby into Point Grey?
By interurban. And it cost 7 cents.
Not to Point Grey, though.
Yes, it did.
You transfer onto a streetcar.
Really
It was 4 cents. We used to get what they call slacks. And 4 cents from Jubilee Station, which is near Metro Town nowadays, into Commercial and Robson and Broadway, change to the streetcars, and then the number one Fairview, and then on to UBC. The streetcar turned around at 10th and Sassmut. And then we had to pay another 3 cents to get on the bus to go to UBC, so 4 plus 3. But all the way for 4 cents.
That's quite a lot. Yeah, long distance for a small amount.
I know. I mean, it was unbelievable. But anyway, that was it. Then we had a strike in 1947, and I was able to get I've forgotten the year, 1928 or 27 Chev car. So I was doing a bit of driving at that time.
This is a strike in the
streetcars. Yeah.
I'm curious too, with the war over and you're still living in Burnaby, did Burnaby look like it was prospering after the war? Times get better, you think, for a lot of people?
Well, things were looking very good. I mean, jobs, for example, no problem getting jobs at all. I remember I went down to Woodward's on one afternoon. I remember saying to my mother, I'm going down to Woodward's to get a job. And I went in, and I think I had about a 5-minute interview, and I started. When do you want to start? Today? Well, I think I started the next Saturday.
Hmm.
But, you know, it was compared to the kind of things that people go through now, it was very simple and straightforward. Yeah, there was a real optimism, of course. Things were moving up. At first, I always remember my dad thinking that we were going to be going into a depression, because he well remembers after the first war, you know, depression, and before the Roaring Twenties came, 1919, 1920, and so on. The 20s later on became all right. He thought we'd be dipping. Well, of course it didn't. As we know, things just kept on going up that way. And then I went to normal school in 1951. I left Woodward's and on to teaching.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, when you started studying teaching, did you learn things that were different from what you'd experienced? Were there new educational ideas that were maybe a little unfamiliar?
Gee.
Well, I'd say normal school is more practical, and there was courses in, you know, the background of education, but the teachers, at least when I was there, and I think with you, were the teachers for excellence from the Vancouver system, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Grant.
Yeah.
So, you know, these days, you know, there are new ideas about how to do things. I wonder if there were new ideas then. That,
well, I don't know if you'd consider them new ideas, but as you say, first of all, in normal school, all of the teachers had years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed, and I'm not criticizing the university. I mean, UBC, I've got 2.5 degrees from UBC and all that kind of thing. And but it's different, but it was very practical. We had to go out on a practicum 2 months, I think it was, in the year.
At least.
Yeah, 1 month and 1 month, and at least. And then we also had to manage a class on our own, and it was very
but the other thing
very
was
practical.
Even through it, now there were some mature students when I was there in 40.
Well, they came back from the war.
Yeah, but that some of them thought it was pretty childish.
Hmm.
Each class was divided into teams, and once every 2 weeks, you had to do an assembly every morning. But you could do anything you wanted to. And, of course, some of us were pretty young. We did campfire skits or something silly like that. But what they were getting at was getting up and talking and performing in front of a group.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great way to kind of make it look like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, the music teacher had to teach us to project. So we all had to read something. And I realized I'd been very lucky. It had elocution, projection. I understood. But a lot of people, even singers, have never learned how important projection is. So those are the kind of things. We heard about the radio programs, school radio programs, the film libraries that were available. So it's that. There was the philosophy, too. H.G. MacLean, the writer, was there, and I don't know what else he taught besides writing, but we all had to try our best for him.
The MacLean method of muscular movement had
And a couple of years later, he visited the school I was teaching out in on the island and wrote the alphabet on the board, and the kids wouldn't let me rub it off till the end of the year.